Good morning, everyone. Coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, it is Saturday morning's hottest streaming media political talk show, Inside the Eye Live with The Fedge.
If it was up to me, I'd dump the Israelis tomorrow.
Heck, did I just hear someone tell a standing member of Congress that if it were up to them, they would dump the Israelis tomorrow? Sounds like something you might hear right here on Inside the Eye Live.
The Fetch. What a man. Oh, my God. You have to listen to that show. He was brilliant. I didn't know he had gonads of steel like that and a mind like a frigging razor. I didn't realize he was so clear. He cut through this that cognitive dissonance that is going on in the whole Patriot music movement.
And now it's time for Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. All right, everybody, there helps if you turn things up. From Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, this is The Fetch, and you are live Inside the Eye. Today's date is Saturday, November the 9th, 2017, and a good Saturday morning to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late afternoon to evening to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. The weather here in Riyadh is really telling us that winter is right around the corner. Heck, my nose has gotten quite cold sitting here preparing the show, and quite a show we have prepared for you indeed. But before that, temperatures today hit a high of only 62 degrees, while the current temperature is sitting at about 55 degrees. Sunset comes here, about an hour ago, quite honestly, 5:05 in the afternoon. We're sitting at about 6:03 in the afternoon now, so we're about an hour into our evening here. It was about 55, maybe it's about 53 now. It's kind of getting chilly here. My apartment here, because of the hollow block design of the buildings in Riyadh and really throughout the Middle East, when temperatures dive, the heat just gets sucked right out of the buildings. And that means that it's really hard to keep them warm unless you burn a lot of electricity. I'm not turning on any of the electrical power here because I don't want fans blowing and kind of messing with the show and the sound and all that kind of cool stuff. So I've got a sweater on. My nose is freezing. Really, it's freezing. I need something to keep my nose warm. I don't know if they got a nose muffler or what, but my nose is cold. I haven't had this feeling since I kind of arrived in Riyadh this year. I think it's my first day the nose is really cold. internal temperature, really, it's getting cold inside my house. Past few days here, we've had some brisk winds, and that's been I 20 minutes before showtime here, I stuck my head out the window just to check. That's right, just to check. And it was still, you could feel the breeze. I mean, it was, I don't know if it's brisk. I don't know if it's quite brisk, but there's a bite to this breeze out there. It's being recorded as only 9 miles per hour out of the north. It is coming out of the north, but it seems like it's a little bit heavier than 9 miles per hour and keeps things very chilled. And what can I say? It's going to be a nice night if you like cool, crisp evenings, because we're already going to be in the 40s, probably within a couple, I don't know, an hour or two. By 2 o'clock, we're going to be below 40. We're going to be about 39 by 2 o'clock, and we're going to be heading down to about 35 degrees in the hour before sunrise, and temperatures here are going to be pretty much the same tomorrow. We'll see. And the next day, temperatures are going to be in the 30s before it starts to warm up, and overnight lows will be into the lower 40s, while daytime temperatures should hit upper 60s to very low 70s. So there you have it. That is your weather report update here from Riyadh. Join us in the chat room, everybody. I'm not there yet. I'm going to head over there right now. InsideTheEyeLive.com, InsideTheEyeLive.com. And then /live_chat if you want to go direct. And I'm doing just that, but you can also just go to InsideTheEyeLive.com, click on the live chat button. You know you're there because you're going to see my big buddy One Eye sleeping on my desk in Amman. But he's there now. We've already got about 8 people there now. I see Blackbird 9, Blau Ocean, Jake Sprake with his Hebrew writing there, and Gummy Bear 777. I think that's a new name. So welcome everybody, especially all the new people to Inside the Eye Live. We always welcome new people. As long as you're not here to troll the forum and make problems for everybody, we are definitely a welcoming group over there. But if you're here to troll us and make problems for us, trust me, you will be booted out pretty quick because we run a pretty tight chat room. I'm not sure. I believe the chat room now at freedomslips.com is back up. Again, you can go always to the chat room there, freedomslips.com, and you can click on the chat room for Studio A, I believe. I'm not sure exactly how that works. I should go over there and check it out one day. I check it out actually from time to time. We've been trying to keep a little bit of a show host updates for you in the new forum over there. So go ahead and check out in freedomslips.com as they start to upgrade their site there equally. As always, we're just simply trying to bring you some of the best in programming on independent radio. This past Thursday, Inside the Eye Live Primetime was really quite a fun show. We had a little bit of technical problems throughout the show, but if you go back to the archives and listen to it there, you're going to find that we have a great archiver, Zap Popper, over at grisms.blogspot.com. He does a great job taking the shows and editing it out and getting all the bad technical stuff out of the way. So the final product that gets posted to Inside the Eye Live, Grism, Hoolies, and a few others out there, I'm sure, anyways, you'll appreciate the work he does. He does a great job. So if you listen to any of the I got to get you guys out of the chat room. Guys, I'm assuming the sound is great. Just let me know in the chat room real quick how the quality is coming through. But guys, it's nonetheless, if you listen to the archives for Inside the Eye Live, it's been going very, very well. We really want to thank you for the support. I know we're down for the Inside the Eye Live show, but we are up big time for the Inside the Eye Live Primetime show, which is, of course, broadcast now every Thursday from 6 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Now, if you didn't hear this last show, we've been having some problems getting trolled a bit by people over at Grisms, which is our main distribution place, and they get a lot of traffic on my show, and of course that means things are read by a lot of people. And so we've been getting trolled a little bit about how here in the Middle East there are other people from really, quote-unquote, the alt-right who are presenting more information and better information than yours truly, The Fetch. So I didn't know about all of this until I started to listen to some of the audio that's coming from the alt-right. And I can tell you something. I really, because someone who really cares about the audience and wants you guys and gals out there to be provided with some of the best information possible, I was really shocked and annoyed and kind of disgusted in some cases with the way information was being presented to you, the audience, by some people in the alt-right. Never really saw something so dishonest or misrepresented so clearly. And, of course, we have a lot of problems here in the Middle East. You got a lot of problems in the UK. Guys, there's problems all over the world when you break it all down. And what can I say? You know, we have to keep working on making the best product available to you. And that's what Inside the Eye Live is really all about, for sure. And I've been taking a lot of heat for doing just that. But we will continue to offer our perspectives from the Middle East, independent of the agenda-driven people within the alt-right that I'm beginning to see now is a big problem for providing quality information to their listeners. Where are we here? It's, again, November the 9th. Join me in the chat room. That's open. Telephone lines should be open. 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. I believe they are set. I've just confirmed with the studio. Everything is set. So I think we're going to be fine to take calls today, give it a shot, and let it go. Let it roll. Let's see here. We were, where were we here? Just want to give you an idea, post, just kind of post you real quick. First of all, let me go to California. A lot of you guys know I'm from California, from Los Angeles, spent a lot of years, quite frankly, on the beaches in Huntington Beach. I was, as a kid, I grew up down on the beaches of Huntington Beach, and as I got older, I spent a lot of time in the Santa Monica area, which would then be Venice Beach and Santa Monica Beach. I wouldn't go too much into Manhattan Beach or Redondo Beach because these are really difficult areas to actually get to due to the traffic patterns. But Santa Monica was easy to get to. Venice was easy to get to. Huntington Beach, growing up as a kid, was easy to get to. We wouldn't really go over to Newport Beach, and that's only because it was a little further away, but the waves, that's right, the waves and the babes, I think, too, were much better. In Huntington Beach. And of course, Huntington Beach even hosts today one of its own professional surfing competitions, which is kind of cool. So I'm a big, obviously, I love California growing up as a kid. It was a great place, and we've told you a lot about it over the years here, about the fire seasons and the Santa Ana winds and the rain season. But right now, I'll tell you, it's been absolutely amazing to see some of the images coming out of California relative to the brush fires that were in the LA area, the Santa Monica area, the Ventura area. These were areas that I, quite frankly, spent a lot of time. And just going through some of the information here, there's something called Creek Fire in Sylmar. I've been up into Sylmar. Dozens of homes burned, thousands evacuated, the freeways closed. Another story. There's four major fires burning down in Southern California. Southern California fires add up to a disaster on a jaw-dropping scale. That's the title coming from the Daily News. Thomas Fire jumps Highway 101. And guys, when these fires jump, and we call like Highway 101, these are like 10-lane, 12-lane highways in certain areas. So where it is exactly here where it jumped, but you're looking at typically no less than a six-lane highway plus the center median that the flames got to jump over. And, of course, that means that you've got a lot of winds. So pretty amazing. Los Alamitos cancels their thoroughbred races after the Lilac Fire claims some 25 horses at the San Luis Rey Downs. That would be expensive all by itself. Rye Fire in Santa Clarita. I used to work in Santa Clarita, 7,000 acres, 25% contained. Skirball Fire evacuates eager to get home. Skirball Fire evacuees, I should say, eager to get home. Take a tour through the creek walk. I mean, there is 7 foot. Wow, they brought in a 747 super tanker for the Liberty Fire in Murrieta. This is areas where I used to hang out as a kid up until my mid-20s, even into my little, you know, my lower 30s here in California. So you're looking at fires here, Thomas Fire in Ventura, the Rye Fire, which is, I'm not sure exactly where that is, but anyways, it's coming off the Highway 5, you know, Interstate 5, the Creek Fire, Wilson Fire, which I assume is Mount Wilson. Skirball Fire, which would have been in the areas where the degenerates from Hollywood would live, and San Bernardino. So quite an impressive display here in December. Now, it's very, very rare for fires to be so prevalent in Los Angeles or in California in December. This is usually getting towards the middle to not the peak, but really the middle of the rainy season. And traditionally, well, at least this year, from 2000 to 2015, you're looking at July is on average 313 fires. December has virtually nothing. But here we're talking about fires that have burned upwards of 505,000 acres. That's over 500,000 acres and over 6,700 fires. There's 43% more than events in the past through the same time period, which is January 1 through December 3rd. So it has been really quite a wild year here. And quite frankly, I didn't know. I'm not in LA anymore. I don't necessarily get the news coming out of Los Angeles. But boy, that is just an impressive amount of fires. Of course, last year was an impressive amount of rain. We covered that. But you're looking at fires like in Nob Hill, scenic, just homes burned. I'm not sure how many homes have been burned. The Rancho Montserrat Country Club got hit with quite a few homes burned there. So it has really been a terrible, terrible time, apparently, for the 2017 fire season. And it is one of California's worst seasons on record. And it's still, to this day, today, going strong. And I'll tell you, I had no idea. It just doesn't make the news cycle here in Riyadh. And not that it should, quite frankly, but it's impressive, to say the least. Fire statistics there, January 1, 2017 through December the 3rd, again, over 505,000 last year, 244,000 in the same reporting period, and over 2,000 less fires in that period. Five-year average, same interval, average 4,749 fires and 202,000 acres burned. Again, this year, 6,762 fires, 505,391 acres burned. The 2017 combined year-to-date CAL FIRE and U.S. Forest Service, 8,747 fires, 1,090,000 acres burned in California. So it has been really quite a difficult year. I'm sure if you're a firefighter and you are out there on the front lines, you are just beat. I got a feel for you guys. It's actually a job. When I was back thinking about jobs, I would like to have done. I like to be outside. I always found that type of environment kind of exciting. Quite honestly, I've been helping people put out their own house fires during some of these brush fires. I did that up in Glendora when I was a kid coming out of high school. I would chase these fires down, get my old yellow Capri and drive around town just to go chase the fires, just to see how close I could get. I've always been fascinating with Mother Nature and her fires and the way the brush fires work and the crackling and the smell. And if you've never been in a California fire, a California brush fire, quite an experience. Not that you want to be in it to the point where you are forced to evacuate, of course, but nonetheless, it's quite a phenomena. And to see some of these hills lit up, as I saw on some of the pictures being passed along through Twitter, was very, very impressive. I remember back in 19... can't remember the year anymore, but I think something close to like 1994, 1996, something like that. I went to a very exclusive club in downtown Los Angeles, and the urinals were designed such that there were windows above the urinals. And so basically, while you're taking care of your business, you could look out across Los Angeles and on out to Santa Monica. And I remember I was there and the hills were lit up that night in Santa Monica. It was one of the bigger fires back then in the Santa Monica area. And the entire hill was lit up. And it was just a phenomenal thought and scene to be sitting up in this very exclusive country club. Actually, it would have been back 1993 even, because I was still with the aerospace company, because I remember that. So 92, 93 would have been this time period. And quite amazing, really quite amazing to watch from the distance just how just the amazing power of some of these fires. So to all of you affected out there, obviously you got a feel for these people, but nonetheless, it's quite an impressive thing. All right, let's move off of the fires here. We're going to talk a lot about the latest announcement about Trump recognizing Jerusalem as the eternal or the capital of Israel, and some of the shilling and the things that we've heard about that. So that's going to be discussed pretty much probably as we get into the show, really in hour number two, only because the next half hour is usually spent on the Oy Vey moment and the cat reports and things of that nature. So we'll be talking about that and but want to just get into Thursday's show real quick. What I did is to counter some of the really, it's kind of malicious, some of the stuff that's been said about the Fetch over at Grisms. And it was started by somebody, a former Renegade host, and he's since gone on to do his own thing, and he's actually been a guest host for one of my shows. And I'll tell you what, it started there about how awesome the alt-right is presenting issues here in Saudi Arabia. And so I went in and looked into the details of who was doing what. These were a guy, his name Patrick LeBrun. He was featured recently on Red Ice TV and also on Countercurrents. He's done a couple shows on Countercurrents with Greg Johnson. Now, mind you, no, I've been on, Greg's been here and Henrik's been here, and I've been on Henrik's shows many, many times. I have not had any contact with Henrik for quite a number of years. And, you know, we do a 3-hour show, and then, of course, we've added 2 more hours here. And we do many things here. You know, we're not like being the guests, the special guests to come in and speak about everything about what we're doing, you know, here in the Middle East. We try to keep it broad-minded and, you know, and there's a fairly wide scope, because there's not just the Middle East. We're somewhat of an entertainment, Saturday entertainment information show. And so I was just surprised, quite honestly, to see these quote-unquote experts about Saudi Arabia being paraded as experts, and then come to find out their information is, quite frankly, surface to barely subsurface and misleading. So we commented about that, and we started to get trolled a little bit about this issue. So I brought a gal on who's been working with me, and I've been helping her out a lot. She is from Hong Kong and a Pakistani woman, very articulate, very attractive, quite honestly. Very wise to the politics, including the problems within her own religion. And so I brought her on to discuss the Fetch. And she had about a 12.5-minute segment in the first half hour of the show. And then she helped me out on the cat report, because, you know, we'll go out for a walk after our work here. And, you know, some of the things we experienced with some of the local cats. But if you haven't heard that segment, you know, we've been getting a lot of great feedback about this segment, not just from family and friends, but from some of the listeners out there and people really who are professional, understand this business. And it was really a great segment. I think what you might want to do is go check it out. I've been thinking about changing the tone of Inside the Eye Live primetime to a bit more of a give and take fun thing with a guest host. Now, I'm not sure you, the listener, wants to hear that. Maybe you want me to continue on like this, but certainly your feedback on this issue would be very, very appreciated, because we'd like to hear your views, and maybe we'll put a poll out there. But I found that she handled herself very well. She's very articulate. She is politically aware about what's going on out there. And I thought it might be very interesting for you and entertaining for you, the listener, to have a show where we brought in a guest host and just started to do a little bit of different flavor for the primetime show only. We're not going to change the format for Inside the Eye Live here Saturday. This is our show. We do it very well. And we're not going to be changing this one at all. But if you haven't heard that show, we ask you to go do that, Inside the Eye Live primetime. It's now available, as always, on the right-hand sidebar, and it's always up for the week of the show, so you can check it out. We'll put up, I think, a story just for that at Inside the Eye Live. You can always check it out at Grisms. You could email me to get – but if you would like to hear this, if you would be considerate of this type of thing going on where we bring on a co-host, let me know. It's something that might be a little fun to help – not to help, but to change a little bit of the flavor for Inside. You know, I've been doing this a long time, guys, a long time. And so it's always fun to have people to bounce things off of. It's not as hard to work, if you know what I mean. Of course, I'll have to help this young lady get a little bit educated on certain topics and direct her a little bit. But guys, check it out. If you haven't heard it, would love to get your feedback. And we would like to know if you would be interested. and Inside the Eye Live primetime, maybe, just maybe, changing its format a little bit to allow for a co-host, even if it's for the first half hour, because people do need to get to their hotels and get to sleep and all that. Maybe if we do it just to open up the show for the first half hour even. But we'd really like to get your feedback about this type of idea. Let's see. We're going to be going into a break here very shortly. So again, it's Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. We're talking about it's what, December the 9th, 2017, December the 9th, 2017. There is the break. We'll be back with more right after this. Good Saturday morning, everybody listening out there in the United States and Canada. Again, good late afternoon, evening to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. Nice weather here, really, in Riyadh, if you get tired of all that heat, which is me. I'm not a big heat fan. I, quite frankly, don't really like it all that much, but I'll tell you what, it's been nice. This is listener-sponsored and supported radio, everybody. That means it's that time of year. It's Christmas time coming up, the holidays, Hanukkah. I don't know how many of you are actually Jewish listening to me, unless you're working in Israel or something. But nonetheless, guys, it is listener-sponsored and supported radio. That means it does rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. We believe... you know, we're doing a lot of effort, you know, to try to always improve the infrastructure here, make things a little bit smoother, support the listener base that we do have, which is fairly extensive now. You know, we've been doing this over 6 years, and Revolution Radio has been on probably about the same time that I started, a little bit longer, quite honestly, not a whole lot, but a little bit longer. So when I started Revolution Radio, I think started about a year sooner than that. So we've been at this a really long time. We're a very stable product. You know us. We are reliable. You were, reasonably trusted, at least at this show. So, guys, help support the network. Again, we ask you, without the network, I don't have a show. You go to my YouTube account, Inside the Eye Live YouTube, and you're going to see there's nothing really there. That's because I like to come on, do a live show, get off the air, and take care and go about my business. I don't like to spend all that much time doing the YouTube so much. I'm a live radio guy. So if you don't have a network within which to work from, it's going to be difficult for the fetch to quite honestly keep going, because I will not be as effective if I don't have a live network to work from. So do what you can. Support this network. They support the fetch, and they have supported the fetch for the beginning, honestly, from the beginning, even when people were trying to keep me off the network. So there's something to be said for that. So again, it cannot survive without our listeners helping us stay on air. And the way you do that, go over to freedomslips.com. Click on the live chat, not the live chat, click on the support button. I think there's a support page there, and make a donation. For me, again, if we had 100 people doing $4 a month, that's not all that much. $3 a month, that covers $300 a month. That's more than going to cover for this show's time and bandwidth. So, guys, do what you can. That's all we ask you to do. You may not necessarily always get an appreciation, no, but trust me, it is appreciated regardless. So, again, we ask that you take some time out and definitely support the network out there, because, again, without you, it's just not going to work. And let me see if I can open this thing real quick. Believe it or not, I have things fairly scripted here. Now, this show is, of course, sponsored. We have a couple great sponsors right now, three actually. We've got Radio Werewolf, which has been sponsoring the Oy Vey Moment, and a very long-time sponsor, which is North Kaklaki Trading Post, which has been sponsoring the show along with the show Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, and, of course, our newest sponsor, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, and his latest book, too. They've been sponsoring the Thursday night Oy Vey Moment. But right now it is time for the Cat Report, and it's proudly sponsored again by North Kaklaki Trading Posts. Good services and solutions for all things, great and small. It's inconveniently located at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk, and by Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by Blackburn 9, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn. You can see him in the chat room right here on InsideTheEyeLive.com is Blackbird 9, I believe. Frederick is an NSA whistleblower, a 9/11 truth advocate, a former 32-degree Mason, and a former North Carolina House candidate. And you can hear Blackbird 9's Breakfast Club every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on Spreaker. That, again, is every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on Spreaker. And for more information, again, visit blackbird9tradingpost.org. That's blackbird9tradingpost.org. You know, we're doing two shows a week now. We're doing the primetime show Thursday and, of course, this show. Hard to keep you up to date with cat reports on a daily basis. So if you didn't listen to last Thursday's cat report, not all of you did. It was really a great cat report. I brought Mary, which is the voiceover for the new intro bumper for Inside the Eye Line Primetime. And we had a situation this week, which was really, I guess it's worth repeating if you haven't. And if you heard it, bear with me. We'll repeat it again. But we were out walking. We trying to take care of ourselves and myself. I'm certainly in shape, but I want to keep in shape. So I go out for about an hour walk after everything is done. So from about 9:30 to 10:30 at night, I go for an hour walk, and we went past this one area, and this grayish tabby cat, really a tabby cat, came up, and I'll tell you what, she was the sweetest darn thing. She literally walked up to me, stepped on my feet, stayed on my feet, massaged my feet, and just didn't want me to go anywhere. And as I walked, it followed me, and it really followed me probably for about 100 meters to, you know, not so far, but about 100 meters across the road. And I was just going to go another 100 meters more to a restaurant and buy this cute little kitten, not really a kitten, but it's certainly a younger cat. And I was going to buy it some food and give it, feed it, but she stopped at a particular, I don't know, it's an island, what do we want to call this, an island ATM machine where you could drive up and, you know, take care of your banking business there, pull some money, whatever the case may be. But she stopped right there and just refused to come any further and just watched me as I walked away. And really, I felt kind of sad for the thing. But I'll tell you, we got a lot of great cats around here. I've been feeding the cats around here. I went out because, quite frankly, the internet's still not in the hotel. And I'm burning through, quite honestly, I'm burning through my data plans on my cell phone. I don't know, I'm spending something like close to $60, $70 a month now. Actually, more than that, close to $100 a month just to keep the data plans stocked up enough to where I don't have to worry about running out, because that's not a great thing. And I went out today, and it's cold. It's been very cold in the mornings, 33, 34, 35, 37, like that. But with the wind, it gets a little bit more biting. And as I walked out, there were three of the cats that I feed two buildings away, and I went by, and then when they saw me, they all kind of perked up. They were all yawning, not meowing, but stretching. And I'm like, I'm sorry, guys, I don't have food. I know that cat stretch when I see it in the mornings. That means feed me type of time. But they just kind of looked at me. They were kind of cool, saying, hey, man, how are you? And I'm like, yeah, how are you guys? That was kind of good. As far as Jordan goes, very quiet. I haven't seen any of my cats for 2 days, quite frankly. I've been very busy in Jordan, so the time hasn't been right to watch and see the cats. So can't give you really a whole lot of honest updates about what is happening in Jordan. I know the cats got fed. They got some new dry food. We had run out. One Eye wasn't happy about that. He made it known that, hey, I'm hungry. They were teasing him. We have a giant, I don't know, 20-liter bucket where we put the cat food in, and I fill it up before I leave. And they were teasing him. You know, One Eye would just kind of like look inside like, hey, I know there's food in there, but there was no food. And so they're just like teasing him for like, I'm like, don't do that to One Eye. Come on. That's not a nice thing to do. But they kept teasing the poor guy. So I guess he let it be known, hey, you were teasing me. Now feed me. You got to feed me some of this stuff. But it's been very quiet on the cat side. Hopefully we'll have another great cat report this Thursday even. But if not, listen to the cat report at this time every show, and it's proudly sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Posts. good services and solutions for all things great and small. Again, Inconvenient, located at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk, and by Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club. And you can hear Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on Spreaker. And for more information, visit announcers would do that when the internet first came out. Go to www. No, just visit Blackbird9TradingPost.org. That's Blackbird9TradingPost.org. And again, check it out. Great show. Lots of great content. And it's already developing its own nice following. Lots of great information comes from that show again. So Blackbird9TradingPost.org. It's Blackbird9TradingPost.org.
Oy vey. Oy gewalt. It's like another shower.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on boy and tears.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
Oy vey!
This Oy vey moment is brought to you by Radio Werewolf and HeartlandOnline.net. Radio Werewolf is now streaming 24 hours of no-nonsense, uncensored radio centered around the pro-European Western civilization spirit. And be sure to catch all their live shows at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. To listen live or catch the archived shows and curated content, visit werewolfradio.com. That's W-E-H-R, wolfradio.com. And if you want to expand your information options and find like-minded content, visit heartlandonline.net, where you will find many popular and insightful Western-centric podcasts, news articles, videos, music, and much more, including yours truly, The Fetch, and Inside the Eye Live. So just remember, Radio Werewolf, that's W-E-H-R Wolf, and HeartlandOnline.com. And this week's Oy vey moment comes to us from Colorado. That's right, Colorado, that bastion of radical anti-Semitism, Colorado. Now, if you're not familiar with Colorado, it's a state. I know most of you in America are, but we have an international audience. Colorado is a state that's in the Rocky Mountains, essentially. It's towards the middle part of the middle western part. And so you got to go to the middle on the map and then go to the west. And it's before maybe two states away before you get to the Pacific Ocean. And it's in smack dab at the middle of the Rocky Mountains, essentially. And I'll tell you what, it's a bastion of neoliberal thought, at least when it comes to marijuana. They've legalized marijuana. It's been a huge tax gain for the state there, so much so that they've had to try to figure out how to give the money back. So to hear the ADL complaining about Colorado just kind of stuck me as kind of interesting. And an article was written here by a Michael Roberts. It came out just December the 6th. And it says, thanks, Donald Trump, anti-Semitic incidents in Colorado double. Ooh, and I thought, wow, doubling in Colorado. This must be a drastic thing. And according to analysis from the Israeli Foreign Operation, the Anti-American Anti-Defamation League, the number of anti-Semitic incidents in Colorado, guys, have actually doubled. That's right, in 2017. And I'm like trying to find, like, okay, where is it? And guess what? It's up to 23. That's right, 23 incidents in Colorado, and that is doubling. No, it was 23 last year. I take it back. We're up to 46 incidents this year, everybody. 46 incidents of Jews being offended by someone saying your clothes look terrible. And they're like, that's a 100% increase. Of course, that's doubling, everybody. And that's, of course, not to mention, as Jews like to do, their friends in crime, members of the transgender, lesbian, gay, queer, whatever demographic they want to call themselves, where they've seen 24 instances of quote unquote harassment there. And I'll tell you what, they're complaining about 21 cases of vandalism, one physical assault against a Jewish individual. And of course, the Jewish individual is probably being obnoxious, probably being a complete jerk, probably. I would have to follow, you know, what's going on here. I can't trust the ADL to be giving me accurate information because they're not an honest – basically, it's an anti-American organization. Let's be honest here. So you're talking about these increases haven't happened in a vacuum. Unfortunately, we've experienced a pretty dramatic rise in anti-Semitism over the last few years. Yeah, you're up to 23 incidents, you nutcases. Just to put this all in perspective, white-on-black homicides, just homicides, folks, in 2015 – were 215 if it was white on black, but black on white was over 500. 500. That's over 50. That's what? Not quite 50, about 45 per month. Per month. Homicides. And Jews are going to complain to you and to me because somebody said, oh, your Gewaltfisch stinks. You just get out of my face, you classless little punk. See, that's a hate crime in their culture. You can't say that. See, if you say to a Jewish person, you know what? Your shoes suck. Have you thought about changing your shoes? They look Jewish to me. It looks like Jew fashion to me. Do you realize saying that to a Jew is a hate crime to them? That's an incident that they will report. If you look at somebody and they complain inside the supermarket and they're making a big scene about themselves, as many Jews will do, and you say to them, would you stop acting Jewish? That's an incident to the Jewish community. So when they talk about incidents going from 23 to 46, they're complaining about somebody getting impatient with Jewish idiocy more often than not. That is the reality about all of these quote unquote incidents. Now, there was apparently a guy by the name of Scott Planer. His name is Bill or William Scott Planer. And he did something terrible, apparently. I didn't know about this story because it doesn't matter. First of all, it happened in Capitol Hill, which is Washington, D.C. The guy was described as a white supremacist. Why is it that Jews never talk about Jew supremacists? And they put They arrested this guy for putting, quote-unquote, an anti-Semitic sticker on the door of a Chabad Lubavitch Jewish center. That's an arrestable offense for putting a sticker on a door? Whatever happened to freedom of speech here? Now, if you want to charge him with petty vandalism, all right, but it's not really vandalism. There's no damage being caused here. And then this week, I have been hammered by clowns in the alt-right talking seriously, or at least support the alt-right, talking about how, oh, well, Saudi Arabia is a bastion of free speech. Are you getting arrested for putting stickers on doors here in Saudi Arabia, folks? Do you hear about this problem? No, we don't have that problem here, you clowns. But in America, you put something on a Chabad Lubavitch Jewish Center, which is a hyper-rabid, racist, supremacist Jewish organization. The very same organization that is behind Noahide laws. Noahide laws, as you know, says that if you don't listen to Jews and worship Jews, essentially, that you can have your head cut off with a guillotine or whatever. That's Chabad Lubavitch. But you're not hearing any of these people talk about Jewish supremacists. See, why is it always a one-way street with the Jewish community? See, we have a right and an obligation and a duty to start to speak clear about the dangers Jews pose to Western civilization. I don't want to hear people from the alt-right try to say, oh, I wish upon the Saudi people all this mayhem and death. For what? For what, you idiots? They're over here minding their own business. How about you people in the alt-right stop dealing with issues you don't know and start going after the ADL? Start going after Chabad Lubavitch. Stop trying to talk about how we differ from Zionist civic nationalism. Is we're like Jewish civic nationalism, Jewish whatever you want to call it. That's your enemy, you fools. Really, you fools. How dare you actually? And then they want to come after me. I'm upset about this, guys. I don't know why. Now, in August of this year, somebody was talking about this hateful vandalism. Oh, my gosh, hateful vandalism. And it happened at a synagogue in Springs in Colorado. Oh, and you know what the vandalism was? Somebody carved a swastika into the door of a Jewish couple's home. Can you imagine? Do you really believe that somebody is going to walk up to somebody's home and carve a swastika into somebody's home? Do you really believe that? How many of you, even if you can't stand this whiny, disgusting punk culture, even though you don't like them, and you have a right not to like them, by the way, they don't like you, so it's okay if you don't like them, but how many of you feel so motivated that you're going to go carve a swastika in their door? See, the stories coming from the Jewish community are so disbelievable that it is becoming laughable if they weren't, quote unquote, jailing you for it. Like, who's going to write Sieg Heil, but on a temple bay at Torah for their service? I mean, who's going to bother? We've seen, according to Mr. Levin, he's apparently Chinese, we've seen a dramatic rise in anti-Semitic language that's happening in schools. I don't know. Well, first of all, why are you on our schools, dude? You got your own schools. Get off our schools. That's my attitude. Get off of our schools. We don't need you on our schools. Go indoctrinate your racist little kids on your own schools. Guys, we get your community, okay? Get off of our schools. But he says, I don't know if it's a rise in anti-Semitism or if it's students picking the meanest things they can say to someone. Well, you know what? Telling us you're a white supremacist is pretty mean, you guys. Telling us we're Nazis, knowing that it's filled with hatred from you, is a pretty nasty thing to say. Calling us all kinds of homosexual innuendo from the Jewish community, which we've been seeing, from Jewish trolls and their supporters for years and years online, is, well, that's pretty mean. But why is it okay for you in the Jewish community to support this and you think it's okay? Because you actually do. And to any of you listening, I'm sure not too many people are here, at least from the Jewish community, we know it. You talk about quote-unquote hate crimes. What type of society will digress to the point to allow a foreign force, a foreign imposing power like the Jewish community, to tell you that what you just said is a hate crime? Who tolerates this nonsense? See, direct harassment of somebody, since when does direct harassment of somebody become a quote-unquote a hate crime that has extenuating circumstances? And you guys are going to sit there and tell me from the alt-right that it's the Saudis that are your problem. I can't believe you freaking idiots. With all due respect, you guys are complete morons. You really think you get what's going on here. And we're going to deal with it. We got a big hour, a couple hours to go, folks. We're going to deal with a lot of this. Levin adds, I've seen more swastikas this year than I've ever noticed before. Well, you know what, Mr. Levin, to us, the Star of David is a hate symbol. We've seen more Stars of Davids than I've seen in a long time coming through our media. The Star of David should be classified by all of us as a hate symbol. It should be torn down. It should not be allowed to be displayed. And anybody displaying this hate symbol called the Star of David should be arrested for promoting hatred against pretty much all of us. But you see, that's how their logic works. Now, if you think I sound stupid for talking this way, then why are you tolerating it from the Jewish community and all these punky little whiny people within the Jewish community talk to us the exact same way? That's the Oy Vey moment again, brought to us by Radio Werewolf. Check out Radio Werewolf at RadioWerewolf.com. Back with more right after this. And welcome back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Today's date, November all week. I guess I want to go back in time. December the 9th, 2017, a good Saturday morning to all of you again listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late afternoon to evening to everybody listening in European and Asian time zones. I want to move on now to the Trump issue and Jerusalem, and really what has been an absolute strategic disaster for the United States, quite frankly, and that is the announcement that Donald Trump is basically kowtowing to America's Jewish political bloc and has announced that Israel and Jerusalem are forever going to be linked together as making Jerusalem the capital of Jews. Israel is Jews, okay? The reality is that this is an exceedingly irresponsible position. It's been kind of humorous as we witness the number of quote-unquote conservative pundits talk about how brave this decision is, about how this has always been the truth, that Jerusalem has always been the capital of the Jewish people, etc., on and on and on. The reality is we got nothing in return for this. We kind of gave away a bargaining chip as the American people from a strategic point of view. The decision, quite honestly, seems a little bit coerced. I'm not sure why Trump made this decision. His speech was slurred. His speech was not really clear. It did not appear lucid to me as he made the announcement. In fact, he looked like he had been drinking. Others are claiming that he looked delusional. To me, he looked like under the influence of something. When he signed the document, he was signing it like he was a little kid. So I was not impressed with what's happened. Now, what's clear is that, as we all know, or many of you know, in 1995, there was the Jerusalem Embassy Act or something to that effect. It was passed by a ridiculous number of Israeli-centric traitors in the Congress, the American Congress, essentially making Jerusalem, saying that, you know, we recognize it as the traditional capital of the Jewish people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what a lot of people don't understand is this is dovetailing into something known as eschatology. Eschatology is end times prophecy, the idea that Jesus is going to come back sometime soon. If you're a Christian or whatever it is, the Messiah is going to come back if you're Jewish. And even in the Islamic faith, they have their own eschatology that dovetails into this philosophy. And of course, being all from the same religion, we can understand why they all share some type of common theme relative to the end times or the eschatology of what is happening today, this end times philosophy. Now, in Iran, you know, you've had a lot of eschatological eschatological driven politicians. You have really what happens all over the world, folks, especially in the West, is we are driven widely by our eschatology politicians. And part of that is because, unfortunately, those who are too heavy into religion are too lacking in critical thinking skills, too lacking in basic observation, too lacking in pragmatism. They don't see beyond their religion. So in a planet of 6 billion people, well, the ideas and the thoughts and the eschatology of these people drives their motivations, drives their thinking, drives their quote-unquote voting. So that essentially they try to recreate the eschatology that they believe in. And, of course, their eschatology means everybody gets to die in their great cataclysm. So these people are kind of like fringe lunatics in some respects. But it's a dangerous block because you're talking billions of people that believe in this. And, of course, the most fervent, even if it's only 1%, we're talking 100 million people believe in this. And that's a huge number of people that truly believes in these religious insanities. Now, we can call it a religious insanity. That should be our right. We Americans believe in a separation of church and state. The idea of linking Jerusalem to Israel is a violation of our philosophy of separating church and state, because the Jewish people, their Jewish religion, their Jewish political, everything about their political, I don't want to say movement, but their political activities, they do not separate their religion from their state. Israel is a theocracy. It's this tyrannical, anti-human, degenerate theocracy. That really is Israel in a nutshell. And the idea that somehow we as an American people, as nationalists, should be giving up to a bunch of degenerate loonies, which are the Jewish people essentially, this idea of an eternal capital called Jerusalem, is a complete failure of American politics. It's a failure of the American institutionalized security system. It's a failure of our, quote unquote, our own deep state, which is not working for the American people, obviously, anymore. They must be working, apparently, for the Noahidists, the Chabad Lubavitchers, the people, the Rothschilds, if you want to call it that, the State of Israel for Benjamin Netanyahu, but they're not working for the American people. At least based on everything we see, the opioid crisis, you know, the drugs and the dealing of drugs and the selling false wars and the stealing and theft from the U.S. National Treasury to feed whatever it is they're feeding. There's a huge problem here with what's happening inside of America and the West. Huge problem. This idea of recognizing Jerusalem, folks, is essentially, in a Jewish world, announcing the beginning of their domination of planet Earth under their new world order system. It's not about whether it's logical or a statement of fact. What has happened this past week is Donald Trump has handed the fringe eschatological loons within the Jewish community, and they unfortunately are in the halls of power, the idea that the end times are coming, the Messiah is on the way, and it is time to declare Jews as the preeminent power on planet Earth, and they are supposed to dominate all the people of the planet, and especially those in the Western world whom they have been seeking and fighting and trying to lord over for 2,000 years. This, folks, was the announcement from the Jewish community that they are the lords over Western civilization. That's what it means in the deep, deep side of their eschatology. This isn't about what's natural. Look, there is nothing the planet owes Israel. These people are in violation of more security, national security sanctions than any other nation on planet Earth. We owe them nothing as the American people. They attacked us in 1967 with the USS Liberty. They've been involved in spying more than any other people. There's so many traitors within the Jewish community, fifth column Zionists, who are working day in and day out to silence dissent, to silence your ability to even speak your mind inside of your own country. And that is because the project has always been greater Israel. These are the realities on the ground now. Trump has, whether he was drunk, whether it was some, you can't preclude this, guys. If you listen to how he spoke, he was not himself again. He was clearly under the influence of something, and we'll be covering some of that a little bit later here in the show. But guys, there was something definitely wrong with how he spoke. Now, obviously from a practical political thing, look, there's a UN sanction right now in 1980 that has called for this to not happen and for Israel to give up the East Bank of Jerusalem, but they don't. See, it just continues this subversive mindset of the Jewish people to subvert logic, to subvert reason in order to advance their own geopolitical goals, which is nothing more than the domination of human thought. It continues unabated. Look, how many oy vey moments am I going to have to do to show you that they are at war with you? They don't care about you. They don't even want to have you alive in many cases. Look at some of the speech coming out of these Jewish professors who call for the genocide of Europeans. It's not like they're trying to hide it, everybody. Too many of you are simply too simplistic and naive, and you assume that your politicians have your best interests at heart. You don't get involved. You don't speak up. You don't do anything, essentially. Now, I know that's not listeners to Inside the Eye Live, but you guys know what I mean, because you have to go out into the extended world just like I do. And then you have to deal with the brain dead stupidity of so many of your family members and your larger community members. And even with this historic announcement here that Trump is going to move the U.S. Embassy to the One New World Order capital for Jews, people are silent. They're stupid. They're sleeping. Now, I'm looking at it from a longer perspective here. Here's what I think part of what's been going on here in the Middle East. And there's multiple factions at play here. It's not as if what's happening in the Middle East is all everybody on one page. Everybody's working for their own interests right now. This I've seen, which is our opportunity, because there's smaller pieces we can break off ourselves. But when you looked at Qatar, when Saudi Arabia went after Qatar, part of the reasons for going after Qatar was a Jewish, and it really was, it was a Jewish desire to see Hamas cut off from any funding that Qatar was doing. That's one. Now, when we look at some of statements coming from Hamas, they don't really impress as far as being all that bright. And of course, we've talked about that. But they're saying here, Ismail Haniyeh, he is the head of the Hamas government in Gaza. He said, "Our position remains as it is, Palestine from the sea to the Jordan River. We will not agree to two states and not to the division of Jerusalem. I hereby call for terrorism." He actually said that. What a stupid moron. "An armed struggle." I don't mind the armed struggle. Quite frankly, they have a right to their own armed struggle. "We want the uprising to last and continue to let Trump and the occupation regret this decision." Well, dude, you could have, like, sometimes it's like you guys are just stupid, because nobody within the sane world supports terrorism. If, look, 90% of the Jewish people are legitimate targets, guys. They're all either in the military or they are in the reserves. They're all military people. Israel is like a Sparta. It's not like anybody in Israel is not a legitimate target. When you look at rules of engagement, they're all part of the military, everybody. Every single one of those people are military or reservists, and you're talking about a huge majority of Israel. I don't have any sympathy for these people, because I know how evil and destructive they really are, not just to themselves, but to everybody around them. I'm not into supporting people that like to harvest human body parts and sell their parts on the black market. I'm not into supporting this type of people. I'm not into supporting people that are thoroughly engaged like the state of Israel is, and then using their connections throughout the world for slavery and trade like this. I'm just not into that. Now, in the same breath, there's things going on here in Saudi I'm not into either, quite frankly, not at all. But I know the society here because I work with everybody. All I know is when I deal with Israel, I'm hammered, I'm assaulted, verbally, online, I'm bullied, I'm all kinds of things when I just say something about Israel, at least in the past. So I got to learn about them. Saab Erekat, he's a Palestinian negotiator. He said President Trump has delivered a message to the Palestinian people. And he did indeed say that. The two-state solution is over. Now is the time to transform the struggle to one of one state with equal rights and everyone living in historic Palestine, from the river to the sea. Now, when Jews hear "from the river to the sea," they will translate that is into genocide of Jews. See, that's how stupid these people are. Now, they're actively engaged in the genocide of people everywhere. Look what they did with their support with the U.S. and obviously allies here in the Gulf to Syria. They are the ones who are injecting Ethiopian women with birth control injections. That's genocide, everybody. They are the Israelis are the ones that are the genocidal monsters on this planet, and have always been. They've always been an enemy of the American, of not just the American people, but the world at large. Mahmoud Abbas, he's president of the Palestinian Authority, says these measures are a reward to Israel's violations of international resolutions and an encouragement for Israel to continue its policy of occupation, settlements, apartheid, and ethnic cleansing. Well, that's actually a pretty honest, lucid statement. That's actually true. Can you imagine? Trump is so naive, so stupid. And again, I think there's more going on behind the scenes than this. But since Trump is at the head, we're just going to have to use his name right now. Trump is so naive and stupid, everybody. Literally, so naive and stupid. He gave away the one main negotiating point that the Jewish people want, which is a capital in Jerusalem. And he got absolutely nothing in return. Mr. Dealmaker. Trump, if you're a dealmaker, who needs a dealmaker like a Trump on foreign policy? What a complete moronic idiot. I swear, what an idiot. He gives away the one main point to the Chabad Lubavitch crowd and all of his whacked out evangelicals, I guess. He got nothing in return. And to those of you who are in the evangelical movement, dudes, you guys are dumb. What are you supporting this for? What did you get in return? What did you get in return from these people? Another commitment to spend another $60, $80, $100 billion out to your dead and your children are going along and trying to have a family? In the meantime, all these Jews run around taking your money and they want to arrest you for hate crimes because you don't worship them as their own little GDs on earth? What are you getting in return, everybody, by being so nice to a criminal terrorist entity like the State of Israel? I mean, really, what are you getting in return? Hassan Rouhani, he's the president of Iran, and he's considered a moderate. He says, we call on Muslim peoples to enter into a big uprising against the plot of transferring the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. The declaration of Jerusalem as the capital of the Zionist entity is a new conspiracy facing the Islamic world these days. We have to be aware and ready in the face of the U.S., the Zionist entity, and their tales. Now, I'm not sure what that means, but I assume in Arabic it played pretty well, or he's not even Arabic, he's Persian. So I assume within his Persian that played out pretty well. Why? Because as we said, the politics is driven by the eschatology, the end of times beliefs of these people. And the end of times belief with these people plays into this entire scenario playing out. Al-Akbar, it's a pro-Hezbollah newspaper in Lebanon, typical death to America, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Jews are going to be like, oh, see, this is anti-Semitic, whatever, dudes. Hassan Nasrallah, leader of Hezbollah, says, we support the call for a new Palestinian intifada and escalating the resistance, which is the biggest, most important, and gravest response to the American decision. Recep Tayyip Erdogan, president of Turkey, says the U.S. president has disregarded the 1980 UN resolution. That indeed he has. Until now, no country in the world other than the U.S. and Israel has taken a step that is contrary to the 1980 UN resolution. Only these two countries have gone against it. It is not possible to understand what Trump wants to achieve. Jerusalem was viewed as a place of worship for Muslims, Christians, and Jews. It was the first Qibla of the Muslims. Masjid al-Aqsa was our first Qibla. To take such a step will throw the region into a ring of fire. Political leaders should make peace, not cause disorder. Trump's declaration aims to stir up the region, not to bring peace. Now, actually, I agree with that assessment, and I'm not even a big Recep fan. I think he's just as dangerous as the rest of them. But still, I agree with his assessment because I understand the eschatology. Trump should, Mr. Dealmaker, Trump should. Now, the Jews who are behind Trump, pushing him to do this, they understand it too. But guess what? They want the turmoil. They want the infighting. They want the wars because it feeds their God, who apparently is some type of empirical power operating on this planet and using humans as some type of fodder to feed its emotional needs to exist. Let's see here. What other things were said here? That's about it. You know, the problem here is this decision, it's lame. Not that it's not or couldn't have been done, but it's lame. And that's because the United States as a country, we got nothing back. We got nothing in return. Mr. Dealmaker gives away the farm for free. And he's got nothing in return. I have never seen a decision by a politician so fraught with stupidity that I would swear that Jews behind him forced him to do it. And because he was either compromised or filled with some stupidity that we can't imagine, he went ahead and agreed to do it. But the decision itself has no basis in any rationalism or logic or reason. Saudi Arabia slammed, of course, the decision. Mr. Trump ended 7 decades of U.S. ambiguity, says one article here. The decision goes against the historical and permanent rights of the Palestinian people. Well, you have to understand, in Israel, they don't recognize Palestinians. Palestinians don't exist. They're not people. They're animals to Jews. To far too many people in the Jewish community, Palestinians don't exist. Now, mind you, I'm not a big fan of Palestinians either. I've had my dealings with them. I live here, okay? I live in Amman. I've had Palestinians steal from me a lot. They're not all that ethical people. They're not all that moral. But, of course, I've had Jews steal from me too. And, of course, you're going to find the good ones out there. That's not always straight up to the point. But, guys, we have to deal with the macro side of this right now. Before the announcement, Saudi King Salman warned Trump that moving the U.S. Embassy for Israel to Jerusalem was a dangerous step that could rile Muslims worldwide. Mr. Trump's announcement appears to have cast a pall over some relations here with Saudi Arabia. It's too early to tell, but we, of course, will be following the situation. It's The Fetch, everybody, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. And talking a little bit about the Trump announcement here and moving Jerusalem, it's been kind of interesting watching all the pundits out there start to talk and how Nikki Haley has been talking and some New York Times people have been talking. It's a big deal, quite frankly, because of the Noahidist implications. Right now, we are living under a type of tyranny in the West that we really haven't seen in quite some time, at least. There's always been tyranny, let's not kid ourselves, but it's gotten so bad now that you can't even speak. And that is a direct violation of, you know, a basic tenet of being a human being. You got to be able to talk. You got to be able to talk. You know, here in Saudi Arabia, just to be clear with everybody, you have freedom of speech here. There's just two things that you're basically told not to talk about. One would be to disparage their religion. And quite frankly, as a guest in their country, why would you want to do that? And the second thing is you don't speak negatively about the royal family. And well, you're a guest here, so okay, that's fine. Now, that applies obviously to people locally too, and they're trying to change things as much as they can, but it still applies. Well, now move on over to America or move on over to Canada or to the UK or France or Germany. Look, you can be jailed if you speak negatively about the royal family here. Okay, but guess what? You can be jailed in America, not America, but you can be jailed for speaking out negatively against Jews in the UK. The UK, who are Jews? They're not even, the UK is not even a Jewish country, or maybe it is now, but it's not really. It should be for the British. You can be jailed in Germany for speaking out against things that are of importance to Jewish people. So basically, Jews have put themselves into a position now where they are targets because they are targeting every single person inside of their country with tyranny. Now, they believe by, quote unquote, nipping anti-Semitism in the bud, that somehow they're going to be able to rule over and lord over the West forever. Well, I kind of beg to differ. I know it doesn't appear that way now. Right now, Jews can do whatever they want, and indeed do whatever they want, and they don't care, like announcing Jerusalem as their capital through Donald Trump. But it is, again, it's highlighting that Jewish people in general are anti-American. They're anti-West. They're in it only for themselves. And that is the mentality and attitude we as a people need to start taking to the political arena equally. You know, I was listening to some of the comments out there, and let me see if I can pull some of these up real quick. Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley is a Zionist. She's rabidly pro-Israel. She's not really representing the United States. She's representing the Jewish power base in America, but she doesn't represent me. She doesn't represent most of you who are listening to this show. And she had this to say, speaking on Wolf Blitzer after the announcement.
I think what you're looking at is this is a president that doesn't want status quo. He looks at
well, that's not going to play very good if I don't turn the volume up, though, huh? So let me try that again. Come back. And where's the, I need new eyeballs is what I need. There we go.
I think what you're looking at is this is a president that doesn't want status quo. He looks at history, and if nothing has changed, he's not going to repeat the same decisions other presidents have made when you don't get a good solution out of it. So I think this is about a president.
Well, again, we'd like to ask the politicians like a Nikki Haley out there, how is continued support for Israel going to change the current status quo? Because the current status quo relative to these negotiations is unqualified support for Israel. Obviously, unqualified support for Israel has failed time and time again. How is giving further unqualified support to Israel without anything in return going to somehow benefit the American people and the peace process? You're not going to be able to get a deal if you continue to do the same things over and over and over again and expect a different result. Look, Jewish people don't want peace. Grow up. Figure it out. They are not interested in peace. What they are interested in is a complete capitulation of the Palestinian people, a complete loss of their lands, a complete loss of their family assets, everything about it they want to see absolute capitulation. Now look, there's two ways to make a deal out there. One is to make a mutual deal. When you listen to Donald Trump talk about how, oh, it's got to be a mutual deal and this between the parties and blah, blah, blah. Guys, that's assuming that both parties are reasonably equal and are in a position to negotiate the deal from relative positions of strengths and weaknesses. That's not what the Jewish people want, you guys. Grow up. They want nothing but absolute capitulation of the Palestinian people. And the Palestinians, hey, look, they're not the nicest people out there. But they're certainly not as vile as the Jewish people. They're not trying to take over our governments and impose upon us billions upon billions of reparations for things that we're not even responsible for, and then jail us for the privilege if we don't even agree with them or we actually fight back against them. And Thomas Feldman, he is a guy that works for the New York Times. He kind of mirrors what I'm thinking here. And he was actually on Wolf Blitzer equally. And here's what he had to say about this. Actually, got to be quickly here, guys. There we go. So here's Wolf Blitzer speaking to Thomas Feldman, who obviously is another beacon of light. You know, we only get the information from either Zionists or beacons of light out there. That's all Jews bring us. But here's what he had to say.
I've never seen a president give up so much to so many for so little. Explain what you mean.
Well, it's very simple, Wolf. The question of the U.S. Embassy's location in Israel, whether we should move from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, has been the most sensitive real estate issue, basically, in American foreign policy for almost 70 years. Now, for us to give that way to basically move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and recognize that as Israel's capital. Personally, I'm not against that in the right context. I'm not even against it now, Wolf, if we got something in return for it. What could we have gotten in return? Bibi Netanyahu wanted this desperately. He's in trouble politically at home. Trump could have come to him and said, Bibi, you want the embassy moved? That's really important for you. Here's what I want. I want you to announce a ban on any more settlements beyond the settlement blocks in the West Bank for two reasons. One, that will preserve the possibility of a two-state solution at maximum, and at a minimum, it'll preserve the possibility of separation between Israelis and Palestinians, so we won't have Israeli settlers living in densely populated Arab areas. Had Trump done that, had he done a deal, the art of the deal, not the art of the giveaway, here's what we would be in so much better situation. By the way, Palestinians then would have said, that's a fair trade-off. Arabs would have said, that's a fair trade-off. And Bibi even could have gone to his cabinet and said, look, I had to do this, but look what I got in return. Instead, Trump gave away one of the crown jewels of American foreign policy for free, probably for a sugar high to get this guy in Alabama elected and to pay off, you know, campaign donors and promises. That is pathetic, Wolf.
So you think he did it for political reasons?
Oh, my gosh.
This could have been a bargaining chip.
He could have used this as a strategic bargaining chip. This is a guy who came into office saying everybody made bad deals. This deal, Wolf, this isn't a bad deal. This was no deal. He just gave this property away when he could have traded it for something that would have advanced the peace process and advanced the U.S. national interest, not the interest of his base, not the interest of his donors, not the interest of a senator in an evangelical state who wants to get elected. I'm talking about the U.S. national interest.
Now, I'm not a fan of Feldman, quite frankly, but I agree with this guy 100% here. This is exactly precisely what happened here. I've been saying, look, on foreign policy, Trump is naive, but I had no idea he was so naive that he would behave like a two-year-old and just give his candy away. What a complete moron. From the 250 area code, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hello, Fetch.
Hello.
It's Vera.
I didn't even recognize. I'm thinking 250. That's hi, Vera. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Yeah, now I'm based out of Enderby again. Yeah, no more Salmon Arm, but eventually, hey, they actually had me as Salmon Arm for a while. Well, blew my mind, and then, about a week or two later, no. They're trying to tick me off, you know.
Oh, no, because it's just sometimes the routing how it's recorded. Because sometimes I'm showing...
Oh, it's not fetched. They're trying to tick me off. Believe me, they are.
I miss anyways. Sometimes Damam, sometimes Riyadh. It doesn't matter.
Really? Go ahead.
Yeah, just how... Anyways. Packets are out and how they're picked up.
Hey, you know, Thursday, I thought I liked her. I thought that was quite cute. I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you.
You had a few problems with the phone calls, but I even listened to the After Hours one, and they mixed it up, and it turned out good. And what a sexy voice that broad's got. I thought she was Austrian or German. So what nationality?
She is a Pakistani woman born to an elite family in Pakistan. Her family runs a lot of Pakistan, at least parts of Pakistan, especially the security forces. I just attract these people. I don't know why. She was born in Hong Kong, and as UK and Hong Kong, her residencies are UK and Hong Kong, so she has passports for both. And she's, although Pakistani, she has no ties to the land per se. She has to get a visa like everybody else to visit home.
Oh, in Pakistan, yeah. Well, anyway, she was good, and it's nice that you're helping her out there, that she doesn't get herself into trouble, you know, like do the wrong thing, right?
Well, you know. I say, you know, but I like.
I love the cat story, man. I was touched by that.
was amazing, quite frankly. You know, this poor kitten chasing after me, then chasing after her, and she's like running away, and I'm like picking it up and petting the darn thing, and I'm like, hey, what are you afraid of, man? No. But no, I liked the segment. I thought that if you didn't hear the segment, everybody, it's in the first eight minutes she comes on, spends about 12 and a half minutes on. And I just thought it was a really nice segment. She produced well. Yeah. She had a voice, very, very, very. I know she has a good radio voice, and I thought she definitely has a good radio voice. She might make a great co-host and a change to the show here to make it a little bit more, maybe reach a broader group by bringing her on. Because, you know, I'm kind of hardcore. So I chase a lot of people away just because I'm so hardcore.
Yeah, well, you weren't hardcore yesterday or Thursday, so you were. No, it was good. I liked it. And then you had what's his name, the one Hellstorm guy.
Yes,
of course you didn't get to talk to him too much, but
no, it was designed that way. We expected it to be that way. It was only to come on just to get once again for the week, promote himself, promote the book again. That would be Rage and Revenge. Everybody, available at thomasgoodrich.com or through Amazon, the book again, Rage and Revenge. It's Christmas time, so trying to help him out a little bit and get some promotion going. Doesn't hurt. He's been a good guy for us.
Now I want to bring up the subject of Trump.
Yes.
Trump, I never did listen to his speech, so I can't say whether he sounded slurred or whatever. I didn't hear that. I just heard, Trump has now decided blah, blah, blah. And I thought, well, who the hell is this a-hole? Sorry to say it that way, but, you know, who's he to make that determination? That's what I disagree with that.
Yeah, and it wasn't just he said I a lot, but then later on he's saying we, and I'm like, okay, who is we? Who is we, everybody? In this case, you just told me I have made a determination, and then the next paragraph where you read the transcript, it says we believe this and we believe that. It's like, excuse me, Trump, it's obviously you didn't write this. This isn't you. Quite frankly, it's not him, in my opinion.
No, I don't agree. I don't think that it was him.
No, this was written.
I think he was coerced. Or
I think so too. Quite frankly, I think there was some type of coercion. He even seemed drunk while he was talking.
Yeah, well,
towards the end of the speech, he was slurring his words.
Well,
I have samples of
maybe
it.
Maybe they gave him something, eh?
That's what I'm. I'll be honest. I mean, you never know. It's a very dark world over there.
It is in Washington. One other thing, you know this torch tower that's there in Dubai or wherever it is? Mm-hmm. You know the place, torch tower, that's been lit up twice now?
Not really, no.
You never heard about it? It was on fire, the whole side of the building, and then it happened again?
I know that a building has gone up, but I didn't know it was happening the second time.
It's called Torch Tower. I think I would change the name unless that's the plan, to torch the tower constantly. You know, well.
They're saying in the chat room that we're going to put on a velvet hammer just for fun and variety on Thursdays.
Oh, why not?
Yeah, why not? I'd like to have
a little fun. Had fun.
Well, heck yeah. How can I not have fun, Vera? Come on.
Yeah.
I have to get her.
She better not be too cute, though, Fetch.
No.
She better not be too cute because, you know, Emily might not like it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, well, that'll be it, I'm sure. But nonetheless, she did a great job on the show. I was very impressed with
how she did. And she's got definitely a nice voice, a cute little laugh and everything. So, yeah, it was light and it was cute. It was something different.
Still on point.
Yeah, and still on point. And by the way, have you noticed I haven't sent you any emails?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't even know how to send emails out of my... I got work done on the computer, and I can't send. So I got to talk to the guy. But You got a reprieve, man. Once I get it fixed, you'll be getting letters.
Well, yeah, I was thinking just the other day, it's like, you know, I haven't seen a Vera email in probably about 8 days now, 9 days, maybe more. It's like, whatever happened?
More.
Was it? Yeah, I was just thinking just recently, really this week, that, hey, I haven't seen any Vera emails in a while. What happened to those?
Yeah.
They did come across my brain, so yes.
One other thing, you know, you're mentioning that you constantly are thinking November. For some reason, I have too, and that we're not in December yet. So ain't that weird? You know?
It's been weird. And keep saying November, and when I mean September, I'm...
I noticed, but, you know, I mean, I'm not on the air. I'm just saying that, you know, certain things around the house, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, well, that's December. Well, we're in November. No, we're in December. So, yeah, I had kind of had that same thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, this thing with what he's done out there, what Trump has done, people should speak up. I mean, I'm not American, so, you know, who do I call, right?
Yeah, it's not even a concern of yours, quite frankly.
Well, it is, because it affects all of us.
Well, it does. And
if they're warring out there, it's not a good thing.
Well, it's not. I, you know. Anyways, what can I say for now? I'm just kind of letting things hang out there.
Oh, and these fires in California?
Yeah.
Now, look how many. Do you know, I already told you that when they spray aluminum, which is part of their spraying, it's barium aluminum and strontium and other things, but aluminum is a fire accelerant. So when they have a fire, it's accelerated because, you know, there's that... It's on the ground. What's sprayed in the sky comes to the ground. And they can alter the weather. So if they wanted to bring rain to California, they could bring rain. Look at what they did in Vietnam. And then they were, that was very primitive, basically. I mean, that was in the 60s and the 70s. They made it rain and rain and rain. You know? You listening?
Yeah, I'm listening. It's just such a connection now. It's going good.
Yeah, well, so they can make it rain. So why aren't they making it rain where it's got problems? So is it now that they want to...
Anyways, they never seem to use their ability to benefit anything. It always seems to be for destructive purposes. We never see anything beneficial, for sure.
So, anyways, that's all I want to say. And I'm enjoying the show, Fetch. So, keep up the good work. And, yes, I love your Thursday show, too. It was very well done.
Appreciate
so, you got to vote for me.
Got one vote in, huh? All right, Vera. Thanks so much for the call.
Definitely got one vote. Okay, good, I'll let you go.
Calls
go.
Are working. Yeah, thanks again, Vera. That's Vera, everybody.
Okay,
technically,
bye.
Salmonarm, Canada. And again, she's a longtime caller to the show. So great to hear from Vera. And let me that call from the group. So she's not there because I'm supposed to do that for security reasons. Let's see. Where were we? You know, one of the things we've noticed is a lot of the shilling going on in the community. One of the guys that's a shill out there, they call them shills. Basically, they're just pro-Zionist, pro-Jewish, is a guy by the name of Ben Shapiro. He's passed off as a great pundit, a conservative, and he makes the rounds on the campuses speaking about whatever it is he's speaking about. Here's what Ben Shapiro had to say. And I'll be honest, to listen to Ben Shapiro speak, I had no idea just how rabid Jews are when it comes to the city of Jerusalem.
Because that's always been politically dicey. So the law is, and it has been since 1995, Congress passed a law, and they passed it overwhelmingly, that said that Israel's capital was Jerusalem and that it should remain undivided. That law was passed 93-5 in the Senate and 374-37 in the House in 1995. For years, the president has been waiving that law. Bush did it. Clinton did it. Obama did it. None of them would actually build the embassy because they supposedly didn't want to undercut the peace process. But really what it was about is they wanted to cater to and surrender to the whims of the Palestinian Authority, a terrorist group, as well as other Muslim nations that were propping up that terrorist group. This
now, one of the issues I have with Ben Shapiro is this. He takes the default position out there that political organizations working for political means are automatically terrorist groups. We're not hearing from Ben Shapiro that the Israeli government itself is a terrorist group. We're not hearing about the many terrorist operations going on inside of what do we call this, Israel. There's no people more dedicated to terror than the state of Israel. It is probably one of – it is a – well, the United States I'm sure fits in there too. They're not the nicest people. A lot of governments aren't, by the way. But Israel for sure is one of these countries that is an extremely terrorist-centric operation. They believe in the use of terror as a means to advance their own interests. This has been part of the state of Israel, or even before it was the state of Israel, since its inception also. The way they cleared out Palestine to make room for Jews to come in was through absolute brutal terror, brutal repression, mass murders of many different cities, just like you might read in their Torah or their Tanakh, as they like to call it. Folks, this is a very cruel, criminal, evil people when we look at the state of Israel. And for them, and for somebody like, what do you call this? Somebody like Shapiro to talk about how these people are, quote unquote, kowtowing to terrorists, or they didn't want to kowtow to terrorists or whatever from U.S. politicians. Again, it shows you the level to which Jews in America put Jewish interest first and foremost, even above the interest of the United States.
Because that's always been politically dicey. So the law is, and it has been since 1990.
Now, also, he talked about how so much votes went to passing this particular act. Well, again, if we look at how many of these politicians are voting for Israeli-centric actions, it shows two things. The American government as a political establishment is incapable of being impartial when it comes to creating or crafting a peace agreement. But worse, it tells the American people that their government is co-opted by a fifth column external treasonous element. And one of the focuses of the American people should be on how to eliminate, destroy, arrest, whatever the case might be, relative to getting Jewish power out of American politics. There's no reason why, like organizations, Jewish-run organizations, like the New York Times, should be imposing itself on political events in Alabama. Now, mind you, this Michael Moore character, he's a rabid Zio freak just like everybody else. It's not like you're getting a non-Jewish-centric type of guy in power here. But if you are going to have an actions point...
And welcome back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye, live, intelligent media for the politically aware right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, where the local time here in Riyadh is now 8:06 in the evening as we head down in the temperature now-wise. So it's getting kind of chilly here in Riyadh as we kind of get into now, I think, the middle 40s, something like that. It's kind of cold here, everybody. I want to welcome from Deventer. It looks like, I don't know where that is, Deventer, maybe Norway, maybe not Norway, maybe, I don't know where that city is, but welcome. I see you somewhere from Europe, maybe France, and of course, Ojai, California. I'm just kind of looking at the map because I was looking at the map. But hey, guys, thanks for tuning in on your Saturday. You know, we're still thinking of adding Mary to our mix on Thursday evening. Kind of chime in on that. Let us know what you think. If you've heard that segment, let me know what you think. Hey, the phone number is here, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. I'm not really analyzing, quite honestly. I'm just kind of like just throwing in my two bits worth.
Relative to the Middle East, you know what I think happening here? What, before they made this announcement about moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, there's still a lot of work to go. It's not done just yet, obviously. But I was thinking to myself, you know, first they cut off Qatar. Qatar was funding Hamas. And I'm thinking, okay, because there's multiple people, there's multiple angles in play in the Middle East, everybody. It's not just one angle. So I'm thinking, okay, from the Israeli-American position, Jewish-American position, okay, we've got Hamas cut off. They're sanctioned. They're basically being told by Saudi, stop funding Hamas. So the Jews inside of America and Israel saying, okay, Hamas is now getting cut off from their funding, and that's a great thing. Then we got the failures, quite frankly, of American foreign policy inside of Syria. And that has, of course, brought Saudi much closer to Israel because of the Iranian threat. And now they're saying, okay, now that Iran is such a big threat, Saudi as a flank on the backside is more aligned than ever with the Israeli-Jewish position here. So now Saudi Arabia has been isolated. So, like, okay, we're limiting the damage now. We've got Qatar out of the way, and we've got Saudi out of the way. These are two of the main financial backers in the Middle East, if anybody could back the Palestinians. So we've already taken out Saddam. Syria is a mess, and America is in our pocket. America does whatever the Jewish state tells them to do. So now is a great time to actually make this announcement. We can announce the formation of our new world order. We can announce to the world that we Jews control America and the Americans know it. And from here, we can basically try to keep our one world order project and greater Israel on track. That seems to be, in some respects, what happened here in the Middle East. So that's kind of, I'm just kind of like thinking out loud. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure of all of this and what might be going on here, but it's just something to think about as America start to take out some of the opposition here in the Middle East. You might have had a situation where the Jewish people inside of America, the Sionim, the traitors working for Israel, felt it might be a good time to push Trump into this particular camp once and for all. Now, he's made the comments and the commitments. We understood that. But obviously, it's the announcement's made now, and we'll just have to see how it begins to play out. But it's not going to contribute to peace. Here's something that Trump was I've taken some clips of the speech, though, from Donald Trump, and I wanted to comment on some of the key points that Trump hit on while he announced that he was going to be moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
We cannot solve our problems by making the same failed assumptions and repeating the same failed strategies of the past.
See, now, on this point, I agree with Trump. We cannot, you know, get a better result if we continue on with the same failed strategies. But the same failed strategy, folks, isn't recognizing the move of an embassy to Jerusalem. That's not the same. You know, that's nothing. The same policies that are the failure is American support for Israel. That's the strategy here that is the failure. When you are unilaterally working hand in glove with the Israeli people, the Jewish people, there is no way for America to influence the political decisions going on inside of Israel, because the Israelis have always treated America not so much as a partner. Well, actually, they have treated America as a partner, but mainly they view America as a wife who does the husband's bidding, who may disagree with the husband, but in the name of keeping the family together and trusting the husband, which is, of course, Jews and the Jewish people in the state of Israel, that consequently, when the final decision is made, the quote-unquote, the husband or Israel will make that decision. The American government and the American people will follow dutifully as their as an Israeli wife here and will do the bidding of the Jewish people. That is very well encoded into Noahidist doctrine. If you read about the Jew and the non-Jew and how the Jew is compared to the Jew and how the non-Jew is basically like a wife and the rectified goy, you can follow the logic, but really this is just a code talking about the political environment. Look, Trump is so right. We cannot create a peaceful solution in the Middle East if the American people continues to support Israel unilaterally. If you really want to get a negotiated settlement in the Middle East, what's really necessary is for the Palestinians to fight fair, because Jews don't want a just and lasting peace. What the Jewish people want in Israel is an imposed capitulation on the Palestinian people. Now, we've been trying this strategy for 70 years, and clearly it's a failure. Now, announcing we're going to move our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, that's not changing anything, Mr. Trump. You're just practicing along on the same failed policies that your predecessors have. You're just giving the Jewish state even more than your predecessors have, but you're not moving your strategy. You're not doing anything. You're basically even making things worse because you haven't done anything to make the Jewish side start to look for some negotiated way out of the problem here, which is some just lasting settlement so we can all get on with doing business and having some type of peace for our families and our cousins and everybody else, because they keep being sent to the Middle East because of these nutcases in Israel to fight a bunch of wars. So, Trump, you haven't done anything. You haven't modified any position here. You're just continuing on and on and on with the failed policies that have been doing that the United States has been involved in literally for 70 years. 70 years. Now, here's some more from an outtake from Trump's speech. I got it.
We are no closer to a lasting peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinians. It would be folly to assume that repeating the exact same formula would now produce a different or better result.
Well, again, Mr. Trump, with all due respect, how did you change the formula? You gave away a strategic gem that at least the United States had over the state of Israel, and you just gave it away. I mean, if this is the art of the deal, I can't even say it. It's profane. It's literally profane. Again, what you have to recognize, I don't want to say you have to, that's not a fair thing to say, but what many should recognize here, in my opinion, if I'm going to be polite, is Trump is not altering and moving the goalpost in such a way that it will aid or benefit a negotiated settlement inside of Israel. All he's done is put all of America's might and power into the hands of Israel and the Jewish people and told the Palestinians, we are not partial. We are not interested in peace. We just want to move our embassy because this is how Jews view the city of Jerusalem, and we are controlled by the Jewish people and consequently have no interest in actually resolving anything. Our interests are to go down the same path of the same failed policies of every single administration, and there will be no peace because, quite frankly, we're too stupid as politicians in America to figure out how to bring peace. But no, we're really not stupid. We are simply backing the Jewish people in everything they desire, and you Palestinians are going to go have to find a new partner to work with.
This is a long overdue step to advance the peace process and to work towards a lasting agreement.
Again, we have to ask Mr. Trump, how are you going to get anything, you stupid idiot? With all due respect, it's got to be, this is one of the dumbest written speeches I've ever read. What a nauseating, what disgusting display of verbiage. This is mental diarrhea. You give away a key I can't believe I'm agreeing with Feldman here. But you give away a key negotiating point. You get nothing in return. Exactly what is Israel going to do for you? What did you get from Israel, Mr. Trump? You got nothing, dude. And the Jewish people in Israel, they don't care about America. They don't care about American interests. What are you going to get in return? You got nothing, you moron. I mean, I've said Trump is naive, but this is beyond naive. This is just pure stupidity now, I'm willing to say there might be more behind this, just to throw in the conspiracy. But as it stands, unbelievably stupid of Trump to actually engage in this type of behavior. Not this one. We want to go to the next one, which is, I should have recorded these.
Israel is a sovereign nation with the right, like every other sovereign nation, to determine its own capital. Acknowledging this is a fact is a necessary condition for achieving peace.
Okay, well, we would have to ask again the State Department, the President, and everybody else out there, explain to us exactly how this is a fact when there's a 1980 National Security Resolution that actually precludes all of that. So how is it actually a fact? And again, how do you explain to us that recognizing Israel as the capital of the Jewish people, which is a recognition of a Jewish one world order over the West, how again are you going to go from recognizing Jerusalem as a capital and actually getting some peace out of this? See, there's been nothing given in return by the Jewish people. They have no obligations. They don't care. They got everything they wanted. See, he keeps going on and on about how this is a necessary step for peace. Explain to us how all of a sudden this became the one thing for peace. What did we get in return? I can't believe I'm agreeing with the Feldman. But what did we get in return, everybody? See, this is one of the dumbest moves, really, I have ever seen a politician ever make. And why did he make this move? Because he's in bed with Jews. He's in bed with Kushner. He's in bed with the Zionists. When it comes to his foreign policy, he serves the state of Israel. It's so patently disgusting and obvious now that even the most brain-dead patriot of America should start to understand this. Look, his Make America Great Again, blah, 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 blah. All that's well and good if he can buy us time. But it just goes on and on and on. This guy is a complete buffoon. Here's what Trump does really well. He goes around. He creates a lot of excitement in various countries that he visits. He sucks up all of the contracts that are available. He's actually pretty good at that. Trust me, he's pretty good at that. Here in Saudi, they're complaining about that. It's like everybody, there were lots of deals being made, and then Trump came here and all the deals disappeared. He took them all for America. So a lot of people are actually complaining about Trump doing that. But he's given credit. He was pretty good at that. But I'll tell you what, this decision is just absolutely amazing. Here's some more.
Over the past seven decades, the Israeli people have built a country where Jews, Muslims, and Christians, and people of all faiths are free to live and worship according to their conscience.
Well, with all due respect, that's an outright lie. Jews have not created a society where everybody is just free to engage and do what they want to do. Why is my phone ringing? Hold on. Stopped. Okay, but yeah, Jews have not created this society, Mr. President. There has been a mass exodus of Christians out of the former Palestine ever since Jews came. Palestinians can't even get to their places of worship. Jews have not created this wonderful society where everybody can move and worship and do what they want. This is just a bold-faced lie to the American people. Why are you bringing us fake news, Mr. President? Because this isn't even close to the truth. Christians aren't free to go practice their faith there. Palestinians aren't free, and Muslims aren't free to go practice their faith there. It is one of the most repressive environments, considering that it's supposed to have European roots going on planet Earth today. It's more repressive than Saudi Arabia. You can't do anything. Try to make your way through all of these checkpoints that Jews throw up daily. Try. You're going to spend 4 to 10 hours just getting from point A to point B, and you only have to travel 2 kilometers. Sometimes it's even less than that. There is nothing egalitarian about the society that Jews have created there. If you are within certain areas of Israel, you'll think it's okay. If you're gay, this is paradise. If you're a lesbian freak, it's paradise. If you're transgender, Israel's a fantastic place to be because you're right at home with all the other sick degenerates that you might want to hang out with. But if you're a rational person trying to get from point A to point B to point C, you're going to run a gamut of military checkpoints. You're going to have subtle racism against you because you're not Jewish. Folks, for Trump to make this statement about how Jews have created this wonderful egalitarian society, man, it ain't even close to that. This is one of his complete bold-faced lies about Israel, and it needs to be known. Israel is not anything near what Trump is talking about.
Over the past 7 decades,
and then we'll try to wrap this up here before the half hour here, if I can go quick enough. Otherwise, we'll carry on just for a little bit past the hour here. But here's a little bit from Trump's speech.
This will immediately begin the process of hiring architects, engineers, and planners so that a new embassy, when completed, will be a magnificent tribute to peace.
Now, he keeps talking about a tribute to peace, a tribute to peace, a tribute to peace. How are you going to get peace, Mr. President, when you're following the exact same failed policies of your predecessor, but you're just giving the Jewish state even more? And you notice what he did there. And this is very cynical because he's always about jobs, jobs, jobs. He wants to impress you. I create so many jobs. I'm creating so many jobs. I'm making America great again. And he's basically telling you, look, in spite of all the fact that what we're doing here is illegal, hey, go along with me because I'm going to put engineers and architects and these types of people to work. Oh, really? See the cynicism? They want to sell you for a couple things of silver rather than doing what is morally proper. Look, we cannot get things solved if we continue to go down the same failed policies that we have been doing for 70 years. If you want to create a just and lasting peace inside the Middle East, what you're going to have to do is absolutely cut all ties to the Jewish state. You're going to have to make the situation on the ground such that Jews themselves are dealing with the casualties that they can impose upon others. That means for every Jew sounds so crass here, but that means for every Palestinian killed, 5 Jews are killed. That's how the Jewish people respond, because they know they're a very small people and it's attrition. In their mind, a 100-to-1 kill ratio, a 1,000-to-1 kill ratio, hey, it's perfectly fine for the Jewish people to kill 1,000 or more to one. They don't mind this because they know they're an enemy of the people. They know that they want to genocide these people. They know this. Not everybody is going to admit to that, but there is a very strong vein running in Israel right now about this. This is no secret, everybody. It's The Fetch. More to follow. Inside the Eye Live. Intelligent people. All right, everybody, welcome back. We're getting through the show pretty well, I guess. It's 8:30 now, local time. 8:30 what? It's 8:30? 8:30. I got to get new eyes, man. I got a bad eye. My right eye is pretty much done. I can't see out of my right eye anymore, folks. I'm basically blind in my right eye. I got one eye left. That's not a great thing, but hopefully we can go find some place to try to get this darn thing fixed. Let's see here. First of all, thanks everybody for showing up. Inside the Eye Live, Intelligent Media for the Politically Aware. Again, today's date, December 9th, 2017. I said it again. Anyways, join us in the chat room if you'd like, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's right, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. Nice gathering there, actually. It's still humming along pretty good. Thanks for showing up, everybody. We are taking feedback regarding Mary, our wonderful co-host that we had brought in just for the brief first half hour of the show on Inside the Eye Live Primetime. If you haven't heard that show, go back to the archives. It's available right now on the right-hand sidebar, and you can listen there. I'll also put it up, of course, on a story on Inside the Eye Live with a show, whatever you call it, a show archive page. Also available always at Grisms and HeartlandOnline.net. And hoolisblog.blogspot.com. So, yeah, check it out there for sure. And let us know. Maybe we'll put up see, I lose my language here being in the Middle East. We'll put up a poll. That's the word. We'll put up a poll to see if everybody would like to listen to her more. And if so, I'll try to convince her to come back. Can't promise her riches or wealth or fame, but we can certainly try to bring her back. And that would be kind of a cool thing. I want to finish up some of these issues regarding the speech with Donald Trump, the president of the United States, about how he's going to try to create a new peace by basically inflaming the Middle East with all the passions of those who are in the eschatology side of the world. Basically, this whole move, like I saw in the chat room, I think that was a great line. This was not a peace move. This was a power move by Jewish power inside of America. Obviously, it's part of creating their one world order where the capital must be in Jerusalem. There'll be lots of people sharing that type of information out there, I'm sure. But here's a couple more key points about what was said inside of this particular show. By the way, phones are still open. 1-323-275-1314. And I got a little quick station announcement here. I'm trying to see here. Yes, this Freedom Slips is back up, freedomslips.com. Right now it's at sitestaging.php. They've been working on getting a new website up. It's starting to look pretty good, so hopefully they'll finish that soon. We can announce formally when the website freedomslips.com is up. It looks like it's freedomslips.com/sitestaging/index.php. All right, let's see here. We want to just type just a couple more things here about Donald Trump making this announcement. Then we're going to try to move on to Yemen. And let's see if I can get this to flow as smoothly as possible. It helps if you turn the volume up, dude. All right, this should work.
We are not taking a position of any final status issues, including the specific boundaries of the Israeli sovereignty in Jerusalem or the resolution of contested borders.
Well, in other words, what he said there is that I'm going to give you Jerusalem. I'm going to do it with no strings attached. And I'm stupid. But no, that statement there is purely a Jewish talking point. That is coming from probably as the Israeli foreign ministry. If I were to have a say at it, that is essentially what you just heard there really is an Israeli foreign ministry talking point. Now, it's pretty awesome if you're the Israeli foreign ministry and you're able to basically get your talking points in front and have the president of the United States read it. That's how pathetic. Quite frankly, that is how pathetic it has gotten inside of the U.S. government or inside U.S. government infrastructures when literally you can have the president of the United States read your talking points. 808 Free and Awake. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Jerusalem apartheid. Greetings, Fetch.
Hey, welcome. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good.
Good.
Yeah. Well, I'm enjoying the talk, and I wanted to put a shout out to Mary.
Okay,
she's got my vote.
She's got your vote, huh?
Yeah, it's absolutely. She was fantastic.
You know, I don't. That's second Fantastics. I've got three Fantastics so far, privately, and then of course you and Vera, not to mention a few others I'm sure have come in. But you know, I really liked having her on the show. She made for a whole different flavor for the show in a nice way.
Right. It's a good balance. You know, she's the smooth edge. You're the rough edge. At times.
Well, you know, I'm pretty smooth too, man. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm not a rough edge here.
When it counts. But yeah, you were saying you could be kind of hardcore, right?
And well,
she
yeah.
Adds that nice soft touch, you know.
Well, you know, I mean, but people like the hardcore. I don't know if we need to soften it up too much.
Not too much, Fetch.
But well, the problem is that part of it, if there are issues, it has to deal with the perceived racism out there. You know, because deal with a lot of nationalists, and I'm not nearly a nationalist as they are, but they might take it in the wrong way. Little do they know she supports actually many of the things I say about the UK. She talks about many Pakistani men being dogs, literally, that these people are some of the most crude people she's ever met. In other words, she would be supportive of many things there. They're not happy with what she sees is going on inside the UK herself. So in order, there are. Go ahead.
Well, she has the ability to be objective, even within her own culture. That's commendable. Yeah,
and I'm able to explain the situation to her, and she's like, "Yeah, she understands. I understand where you're coming from," type of thing.
Well, I hope you keep her on. She'd be a welcome asset, I think.
Well, I'll have to give her probably a dinner or two and try to smooth her over because
smooth her over. Smooth when it counts.
It's 2 in the morning, you guys. It's 2 in the morning after a long week of work, okay?
Right.
And 2 to 4, even though I kept her on for the first half hour to start the show, would probably be pretty good.
Yeah,
and then she could always leave during the cat report and everything else, go home and sleep or whatever. But I think, you know, the first half hour would be pretty nice. But, you know, that 2-hour show for Inside the Eye Primetime, it just blows. It's such a fast show. It's over before
you don't even notice. Yeah, it's like a rocket ride.
Man, you blink and it's finished. It's like, where'd the show go?
Exactly.
So
I catch you at work because, you know, I'm doing things and I got you on and, you know, just enjoying it, man. Things are really looking good for you, Fetches.
Well,
next year is going to be your year.
Well, that would be, you know, pretty exciting.
Yeah,
that would absolutely be pretty exciting. At the end of the day, you know what really shows you're doing well are the donations.
Right. Yes, that's our measurement.
That's your real. At the end of the day, that's a real measurement for the station here. You know, how much money can the station raise? And obviously, I don't need the money. I'm not begging for money like that. You know, thank goodness I don't have to. But I'll tell you what, this month alone, I spent $160 just on internet to keep the show on because we don't have internet in the hotel.
Oh, that's right. You said you were burning through your phone bandwidth.
Yeah. I'm just burning because we don't have a way to actually keep the show up on the air if I don't pay for this type of service.
Right.
And because I'm an expat here and not a resident with a comma, I'm not allowed to buy the cheap internet that I could work off of.
Oh, so I see. Wow.
They force me into a very – they assume I'm only here for a month, so they force me into a very expensive internet.
Right. So no chance of the hotel
– Well, you know, it's just a matter of getting the service delivered. You know, they just keep stalling and complaining and saying it's this person's fault. The next day it's that person's fault. It's like it's kind of like talking to the IRS in America.
Right. Yeah. Well, hopefully they'll get it resolved, you know, while you're there so you can kind of defray some of your expenses. You know?
Well, I paid for this month, so I'll get through the month. And hopefully by the time this last bit expires, I'll be able to finish. I got a little bit more to go.
Go ahead. I'm really getting into the Trump's Jerusalem fiasco there. So I'll listen to you.
It's an interesting take, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So continue on, Fetch.
Thank you. 808-308 calling from Hawaii, or how would they say it over there? And here's the thing about the borders. You know, we had Trump talking about the borders and the final issue. Now, this is talking points of the Israeli Foreign Ministry. Look, in Israel, the bloc that runs Israel at the core are the Chabad people, the settler people. These are the people that run Israel. Everybody else is on the fringe. And when you talk about how this does in no way discuss contested borders or whatever, what you're not hearing is the point of view from the state of Israel itself. And what the state of Israel itself believes through its political core is that there can never, ever be a border to Israel. Israel will be the one place on this planet where there are never any real announced borders. The reason for that is because they believe that only GD, their mythical sky god, can describe or proscribe to the Jewish people what the borders can be. The human chattel, the non-Jewish world, is in no position to tell the Jewish people where their borders can be. He has the Jewish people themselves are not even allowed to say where the borders can be unless GD tells them. So you got to wait for this mythical sky god to say, hey, all you rabbis, we're going to convene some meeting here and I'm going to tell you these are your borders. Unless that happens, there will never be a settlement to the Jewish problem here relative to their borders. And anyone who knows what is going on out there really grasps what I'm saying here. And Trump, as a leader of a country, should understand this here. The problem in America is there are too many Jews. There are too many Jews in the halls of power that are pushing for Jewish interests only, which means they are working for the state of Israel. It's really not all that complicated when you start to break down what exactly is happening here. Look, you're not going to get a deal on borders because God hasn't told the rabbis where the borders are supposed to be. Now, any rational, sane person says Jews aren't serious. Now, and people are like, well, no, you can't say that. These are Jews. They're the given, chosen people. No, they're not, folks. They're chosen to be idiots, and they prove it to us daily. Yet they have power. Their usury allows them to buy your politicians. How else do you think you get resolutions on behalf of Israel, 330 to 35 in favor of Israel, and 92 to 6 in the Senate with two abstentions? Well, that's because they bought everybody, everybody. Come on. Come on. Start to pay attention here and see reality really for what it is. I'll tell you, this is something about peace. I just made something about peace.
Above all, our greatest hope is for peace.
That was it. Yeah, our greatest hope is. No, we don't want peace, Mr. Trump. We want peace, not hope. Hope is just an expectation of something that may never come true. We're not interested in that, Trump. Solve the damn problem. Excuse my language, but solve the damn problem. If you're going to give away Jerusalem, solve the problem. Now you've given everything, except for now, the only choice we have to get peace in the Middle East, folks, drop every single ounce of support for the state of Israel. Drop it. Prevent Jews from leaving from Israel. Don't let them come back to France. Don't let them come back to Germany. And then start allowing that crap hole to start being bombarded in such a way that they have to sue for peace. They've had 70 years of a superior position to try to find a peace deal. They haven't been able to do it. Now they want to tell you, oh, our hope is for peace. What do you mean our hope is for peace? Make the darn deal, dude. You moron, you gave away the capital. You gave away a key stumbling block. The only thing left now is cut ties to the state of Israel. That's where we're at. You want to make peace, dude? Now cut ties. Fine. Move your embassy. Get it done, then cut ties with them immediately. Sorry, you're not interested in peace. You promised me nothing came. Finish. Get out of there. Who can? It's absolutely mind-boggling, the stupidity that I have seen coming. And I've heard that the State Department's not all that keen about it, and they shouldn't be. I'll tell you, it's frustrating as heck to watch Trump lately. Absolutely frustrating to watch Trump.
With today's action, I reaffirm my administration's longstanding commitment to a future of peace.
Now, mind you, he's been in power less than a month. less than a year. He's going to tell you his long-standing commitment to peace, his administration's long-standing commitment to peace. He's been in power less than a year. Give us a break, you flaming tutu flake. You ain't even been in power that long. Joining us from the 704 area code, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Yeah, Dennis, it's Frank. Frank in North
Carolina. Hey, Frank. Welcome back, man. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Hey, I just I know you get short on time. I just wanted to basically say that I was listening to an interview the other night, and one of the people was Brother Nathaniel Kapner, and he basically was saying, he used the word sleuth, you know, like someone who solves a mystery or crime or whatever, but he said he was doing some sleuthing around, he and some of his people, people that kind of help him out sometimes, were doing some sleuthing around to see if they could find any evidence of the conversion process for Ivanka Trump becoming Jewish, and they said they were unable to find any evidence of a conversion of that process having taken place. And I just wanted to say that, you know, Jeff Rentz and Brother Nathaniel Kapner basically said, well, that's because obviously she must be Jewish. And, I mean, I've been hearing that for a long time, that she was Jewish through her mother. And anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. I mean, if that's true, which I personally, in my opinion, it is true. I mean, he's surrounded by Jewish influence. I mean,
it's amazing. And this whole announcement and the speech was just so much out of the Noah Hyde mindset and talking point. It's like, dude, I don't know if you're under some possession right now, because you heard him talk. He sounded pretty crappy, quite frankly. He didn't sound happy about, hey, this is a great thing we're doing now. He sounded very down, somber. You know, he didn't sound to me like he was really into it. That was my impression of it. It's like, man, I'm making the stupidest decision of my life right now, but I got to make it because I got a few guns and knives behind me and I got no choice. Even though he probably believes in it, he probably also knows it's just one of the dumbest things he's ever going to do. Not sure if you agree with that, but that's kind of what I got out of it. He may like to promise, but it's a historically stupid decision by a guy that's had a long, theoretically successful life, you know? And it's like, dude, you're going to go down as well.
I tend to trust your opinion. I've kind of kept the whole Palestinian issue at arm's length, and I've always used it as an example of Jewish hypocrisy.
Yeah,
I've been to Israel a couple of times, but that was a long time ago, you know, military related and everything. But you know how I feel about those people. But anyway, I guess I'll get out of the way.
Thanks so much for the call, Frank. Always great to have you. That's Frank, everybody, North Carolina. We love to get Frank's calls. Here's the final piece of after the slurring part. I think I've got one about his slurring at the end of the speech. But here's something that tells you how coded words get nuanced, or how words, how do I say that? There is nuance in words that provide you with a coded language. How's that? That sounded pretty good. Listen clearly to what he says here.
So today we call for calm, for moderation, and for the voices of tolerance to prevail over the purveyors of hate.
All right. Now, what did he just say? That we call for the voices of tolerance to prevail over the purveyors of hate. First of all, what idiot talks like that? Okay? That's an idiotic thing to say. However, once you understand that what he is saying here is that the voices of tolerance are the Jewish people, that he's asking and calling on the Jewish people to rise up, and the purveyors of hate are non-Jews, now you start to get how the Noahide system works. The purveyors of hate are the non-Jewish goyim who are against this decision. Those who are the believers of tolerance, or whatever, the voices of tolerance, that's the Jewish people. That was the coded nuance there. Hey, because if you notice, it's always Jews talking about how tolerance, 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 and they project upon everybody else who doesn't believe in their tolerance that they are already filled with hate. This final one of these five that came towards the end of the speech. This was your little clue that, hey, we Jews must rise above the goyim. It is time to install our one world government with Jerusalem as its capital, and we must rise up to rule over the dominions of this planet as the goyim cattle that they are. That is pretty much what he said in a nutshell without saying it when you apply it back into Noah Hyde coded logic, coded wording. That's all it is. If you notice, it's always there. Remember, they are the ones that are always imposing upon us about how they are, quote unquote, filled with, what do you call this? Filled with, where is that thing? I got to find that thing real quick here. I hope I didn't close it by accident. No, I have it here. But in other words, guys, just try to follow along. It's hard to get explained in here as we're running out of time real quick. And I want to get to one other thing here. And that was the very end of the speech. And that's where Trump really started. You can hear him starting to slur his words towards that last little bit that we played. But then he really starts to slur his words here. We got another call coming in. Might not get it. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hey, Fetch, this is Mike in South Carolina.
Mike, finally got through. It's been a while with the phone problems here, huh?
Yeah, it has. We got finally connected. I want to remind everybody, since you're on some real good subjects right now, about infiltration, infestation of the Jewish Rat Pack, that about 2.5 years ago, Congress voted a military budget for our military that went flying through, but they had a rider on it, and that rider was the hate crimes bill that the Jews tried to pass for about 10 times and never got it passed because it was just full of nonsense. Well, they finally got it passed by riding it through on the as a rider to the military budget bill. And here are the two dirty little secrets about the hate crimes bill. And they're pumping this now in the United States all the time. Everything's a hate crime, hate crime, hate crime. Well, the hate crime bill, the two hidden secrets about it is that it does not protect whites and it does not protect Christians. So you have to be real careful. They're going to manipulate you into the courtroom, spin you around under their rat pack nonsense, and they'll either bleed you financially or they'll just throw you away like a piece of dirt.
And that's what they were talking about in here.
The legal system has been weaponized, and you want to be very careful with it. 60-70% of your judges, prosecutors, and lawyers are all Jewish. You can be real careful what's happening in this country. And you've got to watch out who is being put in positions right behind other Jews, too. Just like Nikki Haley gave up and went to the United Nations. Well, now you have another Jew, Henry McMaster, who comes from the Reagan administration. He's a hidden crypto Jew. And so they're packing themselves in and pretend to be in the best interest of the American citizens, and it's a lie, total lie. Many, many people come into Greenville, South Carolina, and they don't know it, but the mayor of Greenville, South Carolina, Knox White, happens to be a hidden crypto Jew. And also the former governor of right before Nikki Haley, Mark Sanford, is a hidden crypto Jew. So they're coming into all these governorships and mayors throughout the whole country. So you have to be very careful. You have to check the mother. The mother's lineage is very, very important to check, just like Obama's mother was Jewish, if people don't know it. He was raised Muslim, but he was born Jewish. So be very, very careful the backgrounds when you look into this information. And once you get that information, you can see who's being moved into what. And also professorships in a lot of colleges, Ivy League colleges, have begotten to be Jews, too. So there's a full-blown infestation of Jewish influence, and influence is not good for America. What we need is one political group here in the United States. It should be called the American Do Right Party, and it needs to be done with you do right for America and do right for America's people, and the hell with the rest of them. And you've got to get rid of these. You've got to get the Jewish influence out because it's just evil as it gets. Keep up the good work, Fetch. That's all I got for you right now.
All righty. Thanks again. And then we're going to close it here with Trump's final statement. And listen to how he slurs his voice towards the end. I don't know if this is a failed denture, he's intoxicated, or what the case may be, but it is clearly a slurring of his voice as he tried to complete that speech.
Let us rethink old assumptions and open our hearts and minds to possible and possibilities. And finally, I ask the leaders of the region, political and religious, Israeli and Palestinian, Jewish and Christian and Muslim, join us in the noble quest of peace. Thank you.
The United States. I don't know if that's a bad denture, but we'll see you all Thursday, everybody. Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Thanks for listening. Back primetime on Thursday, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern.